that we make today's shir, Refuah Shleima, Fi Rucham Shmuel Ben Dina, a nephew of mine who's in the hospital, should have a Refuah Shleima, Yetz Hashem. This week's Sedra is one of the most exciting Sedras in the series of Sedras we have in Sefer Bamidbar. Each one has very dramatic events, and this Sedra is amongst them. And we talk about the Meraglim, and one of the key things that we try and understand about the Meraglim is what happened. So let's just do a couple of psukim, and then we'll get into the chaymer. Yidabra Hashem al Moshe leimar, shlach lecha anoshim, because this is fundamental. Send for you people. Send. The Yasuru as Eretz Kanan, and they'll go and tour Eretz Kanan, asher ani naisin livnei Yisrael, which I have given to the Bnei Yisrael, ish echad, lamate avaysa, one for each shevet, Tishalchu, Tishlachu kol nasibam. So right away we have established this is a different type of Meraglim. This is not your usual spies. In Sefer Yeshua we know there were two spies. And here there are 12. 12 is not a normal number of spies. You don't usually send so many people because they're easy to discover. And only through the providential intervention of the Ribbono Shel with the Leviathan going on, they didn't see them. But normally it's not a regular thing to send 12. So Rashi tells us, Shlach Lecha, that it wasn't so simple. It would seem, on the surface of it, if you were just learning the Pesukim, you'd say, Hashem told Moshe to do this. And Rashi goes out of his way to interpret the word Shlach Lecha, because it just said Shlach Anoshim. Why does it say Shlach Lecha, send for you? So he says, L'daitcha. Hashem says, for you, Ani, Eini, Betzava. I'm not giving this commandment. And indeed, if you take a look later on in Pasuk Yud Zayin, says Vayishlach Osa Moshe Lasur as Eretz Kanan, and Moshe sent them. And Mir Tashem, we'll talk a little bit later in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Dvarim, when it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu tells over the story of what happened. So he says Vatikrim Laikulchem, you got me into this. So this was an unusual shlichus, different than almost every other place in the Torah, where it says, Vidav Hashem al Moshe Lamor, and Hashem told Moshe, saying that Hashem did it. Here it seems Hashem is Bedavka saying in such a way that you're on your own. And we'll see what was their chet. And for Kerit it says, and the pasuk again goes out of its way, Vayishlos HaMoshe Mimidbar, he sends them out, and he tells it, Ish Echad, Ish Elamad, as we said, Parna Al Pi Hashem, Kulam Anoshim Rashi Bnei Yisraelima. They were all very chashuv. This was the creme de la creme, all the heads of each shevet. So the question is, what happened? Where did they go wrong? How did these great people come to do such a sin that Adarabba, that the Meraglim, they didn't go into Eretz Yisrael because of it? From the Chet Egel, that didn't happen. Chet Egel, they were still going to be on the path to go. But the Meraglim, that was it. So they went going into Eretz Yisrael. So what happened over here? So Mirchem will discuss. I just want to bring up, before we do that, one Nakuda in Pasuk Chof, which is a very interesting Nakuda. I never noticed this before. I never bemerked it. And it's a very fundamental Yisoid. When Moshe Rabbeinu gives his tzivoy, he gives his command what to look for. So he goes through a whole different bunch of things. Arisam, Saras, Mayi, looks through the land, what it is. That's all my Yoshev, Lava, Chazakui, Arafa, to see if it's strong or not. Very nice. If Hamahim Rav, fewer many, that all seems to be typical spy instructions. That's what you give instructions to spies. Amaharat Asher Hu Yashaba, Taibahim Rav, what kind of land it is. You know, I just read an article recently about that most wars are won and lost on geology. What does that mean? Is what the terrain is like. So, for example, if one side's coming here and the other side's on a hill, they've got the advantage. Or they can't see over what's coming up, so they walk into all sorts of things. Or they fall into, they go between two mountains. One's on the mountain, one's the valley. So they lost Afghanistan. A lot of it has to do with this. So all of this makes sense. But then Moshe Rabbeinu ends, and he says something that doesn't seem to fit into this. Omar, Tashmeni, Imrozo, what type of land is it? Fat or thin? Hamak and Sarm, is it, they have armored cities? Is it, you know, fortified cities or not? Omar, Tashmeinim, Razi, Yeshba, Eitz, Imayin. And then he goes, he says, Hayeshba, Eitz, Imayin. Is there a tree there or not? Now, I can understand if you say, Yeshba, Eitz, is there a lot of trees? Because you need trees for, for shade. When the soldiers come, they go come out of the forest, nobody sees them. You need it to make all sorts of arrows, with all sorts of things. But it says, Hayeshba, Eitz, is there a tree, one tree? Strange. So Rashi says,
What mean yesh bait? So the famous Rashi, yesh bem adam kosher shiyagin alayim b'schus. So is there a man, a kosher person that will make it in his schus? That means the entire Yiddish folk will not be able to enter Eretz Yisrael in order to conquer it as Hashem wants it. Why? Because there's a tzaddik who's alive, and that's thank you. If there's a tzaddik, and that tzaddik is going to his schus is going to be made.
But there weren't Jewish people there.
What?
There weren't
Jewish people. Suffice it, tzaddik, even not a Jewish people.
Oh,
that's right. That's
person.
It's person. I used to write, it's a tzaddik. So it said Eov was there. There's different pshatim, but it's the same thing. The Mabul. Why didn't the Mabul come? Because Mr. Shelach was still alive, and it waited for the 7 days until Mr. Shelach's shiva was over, and then the Mabul started. So there's a great concept that a tzaddik is Megan. There's such a concept that a tzaddik protects his generation. So, but he asked the question here in the Minor Shul. He asked a very good question. Why do we talk about if there's a tzaddik or not? What do you mean? Who was buried in Eretz Yisrael? Adam and Chava, right? Avram, Yitzhak Yaakov, right? Leah was there, Rivka was there, Rachel was there. There's a big tzaddik in Megan. He says, and you know that we go to all the Kivrei, you can take a look at what happens in Meron. This past, like Byron, Meron, there was over 500,000 people there. People who always go to Kivrei Tzaddik, if they're cared, if you take a look in the papers, what are they filled with ads to go with Pesach Kron and others, and who go to Eastern Europe, you show Kivrei Ovis. It's a tremendous thing. When I'm in Eretz Yisrael, the two places I go, I don't do any touring, the two places I go is to my parents in Bnei Brak and my Shvarin Shugim in Beit Shemesh. We go to Kivrei Ovis. We go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. So why didn't that Megan on them? Why did he have to come to say if there's a tzaddik, you said, even somebody who's maybe not Jewish, to be Megan, a tzaddik is Megan? What do we have all the kikvarim, the gvaltik people are there? So what's the pshat? So he says, Royan Anu, we see, Cheschusso shall a tzaddik achai magenis asaris mainim mischusso lachapiti rasso, that when a tzaddik is alive, his schus is 10 times what it is when he's not alive. We should all look to learn a lesson to go to those who are alive, to look to what they can give to us. So he says, that's why we have to take a look at it. That was why we were saying that, even yes, there are great tzaddikim, but they're buried there. The tzchus of a live tzaddik is much greater. And he brings from Rabbi Yaakov Sakili, in a Talmud of the Rashi, it says, Hashia Hashem, a pasuk in Tehillim, Yud Beis Beis, Hashia Hashem ki gomer chosid. It says, save us Hashem, because the chosid left, the chosid went away. Ki pasu emunim, emunim is gone, mibnei adam. And emunim, he said, was the name of the tzaddik. So Hashem, David Amel says, the tzaddik has died. What's going to be? Who's going to be megan on us? That a tzaddik is alive, we have to realize that that's the great schus that he has, he's megan on the door. He says, this is what I just want to read this. He writes, you almost don't need to daven because the tzaddik schus is so great. Hashem should save us. The schus of tzaddik tefilosoi, taspikum has enough. And that's what we have. We say, Hashem ki gomer chosid, because the chosid while he's alive. And that's the difference. So he says, he brings from a story that never happened, as they say, for the Gaon Rabbi Susai. Hakayan says the story was like this. And this is a very, very strange story. Remember, it's a mashal. Nobody got excited about the story. So there was a big chassid, and he went to a certain town, and he was looking for where he can get a good kosher place where the people are how you can rely on the kashrus and their erlich and so on. And they told him about a certain inn with a certain person who's known to be a good person. He's Hadar B'Kashrus, the Baal Ksanyu, Adam Nifla, Yar Shemaim, Rav Chesed, Ayav Maiki, Rabbanim, he loves Rabbanim, Taiv L'Shemaim, Taiv L'Briyas. Okay, so this is, obviously, a good innkeeper, right? Okay, so the Chesed goes there, and he goes to sleep. In the middle of sleep, he wakes up, and he sees by the light, the innkeeper is standing with a chalaf, with a, chalaf shchita chalaf, and he's testing against his finger. And he's like sharpening it. That's how they do it. And my father did shchitas. I remember the fingers they do it against their fingers. So that's how they did it. It's on their fingers, and they to see if it's sharp. So he's testing it, and he looks at me. He says, "What are you doing? Who's this challah for?" He says, "It's for you." He says, "Me? Why? What did I? Why would you want to do this to me? I didn't do anything to you. So he says, just here's the guy keeps sharpening the knife. He takes out a stone, starts sharpening the knife. So he says, you know, they're going to find me in the morning, and you know, it's going to cast the blame on you. It's not going to look so good for you. Keeps sharpening the knife. So he says, you know, I don't know. Everybody says you're a big Baal Tzedakah and a Baal Chesed. I mean, this doesn't seem to be, you know, it's a little bit of a cognitive dissonance going on over here. What's happening? Nothing. Finally, the guy turns to me and says, listen, he says, you're Chayshah B'Sherim over here. I'm not a Ratzayach. I'm not that kind of person. He says, no, in your last minutes, you know, you should learn to be Don Lekavskos. At least you should leave this world as Don Lekavskos. The guy says, what are you talking about? So he tells him, he says, you know, I've lived in the city for 40 years, and we never had buried in our base oilam a tzaddik that people go and daven by his kever. And I said to myself, I'm waiting finally for a person like you, a chassid, a tzaddik, and now we could have somebody in the base oilam we could daven by. So that's obviously it's not a real story. But ad kedei kach, that's the way people are. They're so aduk to tzaddikim who are not alive in the kibbutz, and they don't realize what tzaddikim we have with us and how we have to pay attention to those tzaddikim. Now, I'm going to be down the kafschus because I think there's a big difference. That when the tzaddik's alive, people are afraid they're going to walk in, as we'll see in the next story. They're going to walk into the tzaddik and say, you didn't daven properly. You know, you need this, you need that, you're not, you know, you need to fix yourself up. So everybody's a little bit afraid of the tzaddik, because the tzaddik, even being in his presence, I remember I mentioned this a few times, I had the schus of being by Reb Moshe in his house by meeting, by Rabbi Sher, Oliver Shalom sent me to Reb Moshe to get a letter signed. And I remember I was so scared that I walked in, I took a friend, because I didn't want to go by myself. And I come to Reb Moshe, and he was very nice, he was very mechav, he sat us down, I was quaking, like, I'm in the presence of this great tzaddik, and all my averas started to play through my head. Like, how can I go in front of the tzaddik with these averas? So when the tzaddik is alive, there's a little bit of a nervousness about it. It says, "Vayetzi Yaakov Bereshava Yelech Haran." Yaakov left Bereshon, he went to Haran. So Rashi says, "When Vayetzi Yaakov," says when a tzaddik leaves the city, "Aisarayshon Panaziva Panahayda Panadara," because when the tzaddik's in the ear, people don't realize how great he was. When he left the ear, then it's safe to realize his greatness. Because when he's in the ear, you might say, when he's in the city, you'll say, well, why didn't you go to him? And the answer is, I'm afraid. I'm scared. So therefore, just to be done the kafskos. But the bottom line is that the word, what we're saying is what the Torah is telling me, Yeshba Eitzimayin, and Rashi says, is there a live tzaddik, even though Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, they're all buried there, and there are plenty of tzaddikim probably were buried there, but he says they're live tzaddik because the schus of a live tzaddik is making on the door in a way that somebody who's not alive, even if he was much greater, is not. Okay, so we asked the question before is what happened to the Dordea? It says in Pasuk, if we take a look in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Let's go over there and take a look at that Pasuk. And it says, Vayamusu, Vayamusu Anoshim Motsiye Diba Sa'aretz Ro B'Mageifa Lifnei Hashem. And they all died because they were Motsi Diba Ro, because they said Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, so therefore that's why they died. So Lechari, first he starts up by building up the entire concept of who the Dordea was. It says that we find, it says, Klapi Mad Varma, who are we talking about? We're talking about people who were so great that they, in the entire 40 years, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? How many times did you test me? 10 times, right? So the new disaster opponent, Shama Bekaili. So it makes it sound like, wow. And if you think in 10 years, 40 years, I mean, they only did 10 chatoyim. You know, I would say if we did in 40 days, it would be pretty good. And as a matter of fact, he says, they told the Kuzar, in the Kuzari, he says, Karam Rachor to the Kuzar, Ein Gadol El Mishachot of Sefurim. You know who's great? Somebody that you can count his chatoyim. If you can count them up, most of us can't even, you know, they're innumerable. But if you can count them up, on the other hand, though, sometimes a person can do a chet, that if he does that single chet, that chet can be such a terrible chet that it sort of wipes out all the other chatoyim. So he says, over here we're talking about people who didn't do a lot. So what was the chet? What did they do wrong? So Yonis Nachat says,
Harder than a plain person.
Okay, but this is the whole that's true. But here we're talking about the whole generation. Say Nechanam, you could say the whole generation were tzaddikim, and therefore, in that talk, if you read Rabbi Avigdor Miller's firm, that's how he goes through the entire Tanakh, that every time it says they did something, they really did something very small by our understanding, but because of their greatness, that's a very good teretz. See, he brings from Yain Shanaichitz a different nekuda on this thing, and let me read it to you. It says in the Yaros Jais, it says, "Here ain't no shechet dor hamidbar lo novi michemdas taivas pri hayetzara." It wasn't because they all had yetzara to eat meat and because they wanted to have water and all this. It wasn't that. Ela adarava beroyv li taisim lasagas madregas mroymus, because they wanted so much to be great, they became like Adam Harishon. What did Adam Harishon? What was his chet? The chet was he wanted to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Why? Because he wanted to try and have the Yetzer test him so he could overcome his Yetzer, right? The same way, you know, the lahabalel of adults, but people, you know, climb mountains to see if they can climb a mountain. They want to overcome something or run a race or whatever it is. So Adam and Rishon wanted to test themselves so he could come to greatness. Zachar B'Yisrael, that was the chet of the Dor Midbar. They had the same chet as Adam and Rishon. They had a different Yetzer than we have. Their Yetzer was to become great. He has a greater Yetzirah. What's his great Yetzirah? To be a gadol. He wants to become even greater. He's unhappy. I'm not great enough. I forgot who said it, that he does tshuva every day, that yesterday he was in lower madrigal than today. In other words, as he goes up the ladder of greatness, but yesterday, why was I not so great yesterday? So I have to do tshuva, that I wasn't as great yesterday as I am today, as I grow greater and greater. So he says, that's the pshat, that they were like Adam Rishon. They had the chet of trying to become great. So he said, take a look at all of it. Kairach, what was Kairach's big chet? Kairach's big chet is kolam kolam kadosh. We all want to be kadosh, right? Not of Avihu. They wanted to become great. The Nisayin, they want to have bosses so they should test themselves. That's how he learns. That's one of the mahalchim in what the chet over here was. So he says, the house of Kairach, if they had such a great thing, so why did they die? What did they do wrong? What was the so Adarabba? They wanted greatness. But you see that we might see Diba. What was the Diba that they said? So he says the pshat's like this. Vayamusa Anoshim might say Diba Sarats b'magei felifnei Hashem. Heim chatu b'loshin. What was their chet? Their chet was speaking. What did they say? You know what they said? They said, we can't have Gashmias and Ruchnias at the same place. We can only have Ruchnias. We're not capable. We don't want to have both. We don't want to have one and the other. In Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have them. We're going to have both, and we're afraid of it. So he said that was the chet. Nishtarvel l'shain matiburim v'taylayim. So he says yaitzim l'shain abayin l'tayt tiburim. Rashi says because they did the chet that they had that, and that was the chet that they had. L'darkeinu nira shayis satfiyah nakev mihay diachem she efshel lavedes Hashem gam b'achila. You want to test yourself. You think you can't. You think you're going to have to overcome it. In order, it's not true. You can have both. You can have both. It's not a matter of testing. You can have both. You can have achila, and you can have ruchnius. Don't think it's a one or the other. Don't think it's a zero sum game. Ruchnius and gashmius can go together in Yiddishkeit. That's why. What do we do on Shabbos? We do two things on Shabbos. We go to shul. Aside from sleeping, we go to shul and we eat.
And sleep.
That's what I said. Sleep. Well, sleep is probably heard of the Gashmit, the Shina B'Shabbat Tainik. He says that was their chet. Their chet was they weren't able. They didn't feel they could do both. They didn't have. They didn't feel they were capable. We either want to have all of one, or we want to have all of the other. We can't do both. You know, either we're going to be off the derech or on the derech. We can't do both. So he says the Torah tells them, no, you can do both. You can have both because that's the Torah way. Is that we have Gashmit, but we're modeled into Ruchnius. It's not that you can only be one or the other. And that's what we have, to have both. Why did Diba Saritz? I want you to go into Eretz Yisrael, and I want you to be able to take everything there and be mylit and make it Kaddish. And then he makes a very good point. If you take a look at the end of the Parsha, what comes after the Meraglim? So the Meraglim, it goes on for, I don't know how many psukim, I didn't count, but it goes on for a whole bunch of psukim. It's at least three pages worth, six pages here. So it's a lot of psukim. What's after that? You know what's after that? So you have, no, before tzitzis.
Chala.
Afreshes chala. What's afreshes chala? Chala is we're going to have a nice hot geshmak of bread. but we can make it into a ruchnius. We can take our bread and we can make it into a ruchnius. We don't have to fall. We don't have to think it's only gashmius. So after the meraglim, who felt that we can't do both, it's too much for us to do both. We were going to go one, we were going to go the other way. Hashem says you can have it all. You can have both. You can have the challah, and you make a bracha on the challah, and you mekadosh the challah. You're able to have everything together. So he says that's what it had. That's what his lesson. He says a beautiful story of a certain avrich. There was a story with Berditcher, and very nice Berditcher story. Listen to this carefully. He says there was an avrich who was a very addict to his learning, loved to learn, a yidit tzaddik, but never, he didn't have parnos, so he had to go out to work. So he became fishmonger. So the whole day he stood with his apron, you know, with the fish, you know, if you've ever been to the fish, in the old days, they don't have them anymore, but the old days, the fish store, from two blocks away, you knew it was a fish store was coming, you know, as a reich, and he was Nebuch, he did it, and he used to go to the base medrash at night to learn, and he'd fall asleep during the learning, and he just, it was very hard for him. So he went to Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev to ask for a bracha, that, you know, he should get back on his feet, and he should be able to, you know, that he's very unhappy with this, he just feels... If he'll sit and learn it, he doesn't want to have all of this type of thing. What's going on over here? So the Vidichra says, you know, we just keep going past Yom Kippur, and I know that in Shemayim, I know what you davened about in Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you 120 zehuvim, that you should be able to live a whole year without any problems.
Okay.
That was your davened at night. By Shachar, you thought about it, and you came back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You say, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, not a good idea. If you give me 120 zehuvim at one time, I'm going to have big yetzer to go buy a fish store because I'm very much, I'm doing well in selling fish one by one. I'll buy a store. I'll have plenty of money. You know what I'm saying? Only give me 60. You give me 60 now, you give me 60 later. Okay. He says, then what happened is, by the morning, you know, by mincha, you thought about it some more and you said, you know, even 60 is a little bit too much. You know what? Give me every month. You know, a 2.5 or 12.5, a 12.5, and I'll have enough for 10. I'm sorry, 10. Right? You give me 10 a month, and I'll have for the whole year. And then I'll be able to sit and learn. And I won't have the science of opening a big fish store. So the guy says, yeah, that's exactly what I dreamed. That's exactly what I dreamed for. I mean, it's exactly what I dreamed for the Ribbono Shel Olam Yom Kippur. Did he answer yes? So he said, no, actually, the Ribbono Shel Olam said no. He was all surprised. He said, what do you mean? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam say no? So listen to what Reb Levi Yitzchak told him. Who told you should write some as alimut shulcha that Hashem wants your learning the most? Ulai writes in his koyev halev shulcha al she'en yach loma. Maybe Hashem wants the pain you have in not being able to learn. Maybe that's more precious to him. Ulai writes in shetemus shalav rech shemaso matan b'amun of alichayis b'nayim takan al shuk. Maybe he wants that there should be an erlich yid that all the people should see. That's what a Jew should look like. That's an erlich, a businessman. I want to be like that person. Maybe I have this business, so everybody should look at you and should want to emulate you. Ulai writes in this Shira Torah shall come. Maybe he wants that Shira Torah where you're falling asleep, and he finds it so precious to him. You almost can't keep your eyes open. Maybe that's more precious. How do you know? He says, and therefore you should be, that's a dogma for all the Seichrim. Maybe that's what Hashem wants from you. So he said, we have to all realize that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is that we should be who we are, and the lot Hashem gave us. When we say Asameach Bechelkai, it means that we're not just we're happy, but we're satisfied. We feel the right thing. You know, there's a word, the Malbim talks about the difference between the word Sosin and the word Simcha. What's the difference between Sosin and Simcha? Sosin is a sudden charge of joy. You win the lottery, you have Sosin. Right? You don't fritter away the lottery money and you keep it your whole life and you don't waste it. That's Simcha. Simcha is the same class. That's what you say. Kol Sosin, kol Simcha, kol Chosin, kol Kala. We want not just the Sosin. Sosin, Chosin, Kala have. That they have because of the blitz of joy and excitement and adrenaline and all that. We want Simcha. We want something that's going to last a lifetime. That's Simcha.
Called infatuation.
Right. It shouldn't be.
Right.
I mean, it's nothing wrong. But that's not what's going to keep
right.
you for the long run. Right. So therefore, it says kol sazim kol simcha. That's what he say. Asameach bechelkai. So he was telling him that who knows in Shemayim even, maybe what Hashem gave you is the right thing, and that's how you have to look at life, and that's the way the difference between them, and that's the miraglim came, and they thought that we have to have one way or the other. And maybe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka wants is from you to have one way, or maybe the other way. Everybody's different. But each one is, you have to face that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is the right thing. Then we have another story We'll tell them. Let's take a look just a second for the Pasuk, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin. And that's on long prakim. Back at the beginning. It says, Vayishlach ha-samay shalasar zeretz kanan, Vayomreim aluzeh benegev alisam esahar, and he gave them instructions, and as we said, it came from Moshe Rabbeinu. So what we were talking about, what is the Chet HaMeraglim? What did they do? What was the core of what they did that brought them to what they had to do? So he tells a story. There was a rich man, and this rich man was a very fine person. He gave a lot of money to tzedakah, and he had gabayit tzedakah that it would give out money to everybody. And it was hard years, and people came, many people came, and they went to the gabayit tzedakah. But there was a certain group of people he reserved for himself. He says, if a Rav comes, a Rav needs COVID, he should come to me. A rabbi, I'm going to take care of. Rosh Hashiva, I'm going to take care of myself. So first, a Rosh Hashiva comes to him, and he opens up the door. The servant opens the door, and it's muddy outside. You know, we always have the Polish and Russian winters. And he brings him in, he takes off his coat, and he walks in, and he sits, with a certain achno by the rich man, and he says, the yeshivas, everybody's very hard in the yeshivas, we don't have enough money, the bachrim don't have what to eat, and, really needs, help us. And the rich man's sitting there going, terrible. And he writes him out a nice check. And as the Rosh Hashiv is sitting there with him, someone knocks on the door and walks straight into the room. Who was this person? He was the Altar of Nevardik. Who was the Altar of Nevardik? Have you ever heard of the Altar of Nevardik? In Europe, there was a whole series of yeshivas called Nevardik yeshivas. What?
My father learned it.
Your father was Nevardik?
Yeah. They had a chain. It was in Poland.
They had dozens of yeshivas. Yeah. They were all over. Nevardik was all over the place.
Boy.
The one who found was the Altar of Nevardik. He was a big Baal Musar, obviously, and he sent his Bachram all over. He was like, Sarah Schneer had Beis Yaakov all over, and the Vardik had yeshivas all over, and he was the person behind it. So he walks right in, he doesn't take off his coat, he sits down on the chair over there, and he, puts his hand on the gvir, and he tells him, he puts his shikma on the gvir, and he says to him, what's going to be with you? The same Amor as you always were. The other Rosh is looking at him like, he says, look, he looks at his watch, he says, I don't have a lot of time here, Mr. Gevir, I got to go. Can you give me a check? Because my shiva needs money. So he writes him out a check. Doesn't say a word, writes him out a check. So after he goes, the other Rosh Hashiv who's sitting there with his mouth open, he's treating him with such derechers and all that, and he comes in like this, he looks over at the check, and he sees double what he gave him. So his mom, she's like, What just happened? Just the Dalton Nevardik leaves. And he turns to Gevir and he says, the Mechilas Tzvayv Kav, but you gave me half what you gave him, and I gave you such covet, and he treated you like, he told me, I forgot one thing that he said to me. He says, listen, all this money that you have here, he says, just remember, that's not what the real thing is all about. The real thing is Torah. If you really should sit and learn Torah. This money thing is, don't get carried away with it. So he says, what's Pshat? So he tells him like this. He says, that's exactly it. He says, you came into me and you made money big by me. You made that I'm here, you're coming to me with all this achna because I'm a rich man. So I said to myself, money's worth a lot. Money's worth so much. I don't want to give you too much of this money. It's very chosh because you see how you're mechabed my money. He says, the Alta came and said, that money's worthless. The real thing is Tyra. So I said, money's worthless. I can give a lot of it to him because the money's not worth so much. So that's why I gave him more than I gave you. That's the story with the Alta. I don't know, he pulled it off. But he did. That's the story. So he says he gave him more money. So he says, the Zalbazach is over here. This is how the Ribbono Shel Olam deals with us. He says, if we come to Ribbono Shel Olam and say, we're going to rely on you, Ribbono Shel Olam, then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, take care of everything for you. It says, very interesting, the Ramban says, or the Sforno he brings, Hayinu Me'utadim Likonis L'Eretz Yisrael, originally we're going to Eretz Yisrael, like victorious army. They're going to run away from us. They're not even going to have nothing. We're going to come in. They're all going to fall away from us. You're not going to need 7 years to conquer, 7 years to divide. All that's going to be, you're just going to walk in. They're going to roll over, and you're going to walk in. Now that they ask for Meraglim, so Hashem says, you want to do it the regular way? Okay, doesn't pay. The regular way. You've got to fight a war. You have to conquer. You have to divide. It's a whole different story. So the same thing, just like the Gevir said, it depends how you treat me is how I'm going to treat you. So in the same way, you're mechaber my money, so my money means a lot. You're not mechaber my money, money doesn't mean a lot. Hashem said the same thing. You want me to do it? I'll do it my way. You want to do it your way? Do it your way. So he says that was the chet of the, that was the chet of the Meragim. That was the chet of all call yourself. If you take a look on page 494 in Sefer Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu was very instructive to learn the two together. But our problem is we learn Parsha Shlach separately from Parsha Devarim. To learn the two together. Because he says in Pasuk Chavdeis, V'tikrim v'nei kolchem, you all gathered around me. V'tomru, and you said, Mishlecha anoshim, lefaneinu, let's send out men in front of us. V'yakru lanu etz'oretz, v'yoshuva son of Dover. You asked for it. You had the opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael free and clean. But you wanted it. You wanted to have Meraglim. And Hashem says, B'derech Shalom Reisad Leif Malichmas. That's the way Hashem works in this world. It goes according to the way you want. You want to go in? Because in time you can go in. It's a garnish, right? So therefore the Parsek says, at the beginning of our parashah, Shlach Lecha, L'daikha, you can do it. I'm not involved in this one. I'm out. But now you have to realize what comes from it. What comes from it is the fact that you asked to do it yourself, and Hashem let you do it yourself, and that was the chet of the Meraglim. The chet and of Klal Yisrael is that they didn't rely on Hashem, they wanted to do himself. And he brings a great story from the Kotzker. He says there was a certain guy that was Bish Mazel. He didn't do well. He didn't do well. He was a big guy, but he was poor, like a shul mouse. He didn't have any money. He says, and what bothered him more is that all this chaverim from the yeshiva went out to work, who were half his, you know, brains. They were all doing very well, and he can't afford it. So he went to the Kotzker, and he complained. He says, you know, what's going on? So Kotzker says, what are you talking about? It's an often a pasuk. It's a pasuk Gehelis. The pasuk Gehelis, Perek Tes, pasuk Yalf says, loy lechachomim lechem. It says the fairs, the chachom, don't have bread. So when he comes, it says it. So he says, no, that's not my kasha. My kasha is, why is it like that? Why shouldn't we have bread? So he says, because you're a chacham. Because you're a chacham, you think you can do it yourself. The chacham think they can do it on their own. So Hashem says, okay, you want to do it, you do it. The person who's not a chacham knows he's not a chacham. He davens Hashem. He asks Hashem to do it. So Hashem takes it over. So it's all up to us. If we trust in ourselves, if we're going to say, you know, that's why it says, by the way, Al Tam Ba'asmad Yom Moscha is not just a fact, it's also good advice. Al Tam Ba'asmad Yom Moscha is not just don't trust yourself to your dying day because you never know what will happen with you. But it's another pshat. Al Tam, don't trust yourself because you trust yourself and Hashem backs off. Don't trust yourself, trust Hashem. Al Tam Ba'asmad, Tam, and give your Emunah to Hashem. Your Emunah is to Hashem, Hashem takes care of you. Your Emunah is in yourself, Hashem backs off. So that was the Chet and Meraglim. So when it says by the Meraglim, all over it says the Meraglim asked for it. And then when it says, by Yishlach, by some Maisha, lost his heart, is because Maisha Rabbeinu was the one who did it. And therefore, that was the Chesaron. And the second Chesaron is they say that the Meraglim did it, and the Klal Yisrael did it on its own. One last pshat in understanding a little bit of Meraglim. And I'll do it fast. At the end, it says that Vayun Kachagavim, right? It says, and we look to them like we were grasshoppers. So Rashi, the famous Rashi, says, Hayinu beinei kechagavim. We looked in our own eyes, we seem to be chagavim. We seem to be grasshoppers. That means not only that they saw them as grasshoppers, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. So he says, what? And then later on, Klal Yisrael repeated that, and they started to cry because of that. And it seems that what bothered them the most was not that there were giants there, not that there were fortified cities there, that they all had a moon in Hashem. What bothered them is the chagavim statement. Why was that so damaging? So he tells a story from his brother. He tells a story that there was a yid in Warsaw, a very poor man, that a friend of him wanted, his cousin wanted him to go visit him in Lodz, wherever, you know, connection between Warsaw and Lodz, I guess we're all supposed to know. So he sent a first-class ticket. But this was a poor man. He didn't know for first class. He'd never been on train before. He had no idea what to do. So he sees as the train's about to pull out, he sees a bunch of, you know, vagrants jump on the train at the last minute because that's how they get, you know, free passage. So he figures, they look like my kind of guys, and he jumps on with them. So the conductor comes along, and he's, you know, he's smiling from ear to ear because he knows this is the place where he's going to throw all these guys off the train. And he says, okay, let me see your ticket. So each guy has no ticket, you're off. He looks at this guy, guys in first class tickets. So that he's mumsh, he goes bug-eyed. He says, you have a first class ticket. What are you doing amongst these people? He says, when you have a first-class ticket, you ought to act like a first-class passenger. So he says, that was the chet. The chet was is that they had a very low opinion. They had very poor self-esteem, so they didn't see themselves as people who could accomplish this. They didn't think they were worthy of it. And when the leaders aren't feel they're not worthy, then the people don't have a chance. So this was the chet of the Meragdim. The Meragdim, they were the leaders. What is the first thing when you go into war? The Kohen gives a whole speech, right? The head is supposed to say, give a speech, say, we're going to win, we're going to do it. Instead, the Meraglim, who were the heads, instead of coming back and do what Yeshua Kohen said, said, don't worry about it, we can do it. They gave the opposite speech. And that was their chet. And that was, it says, the Lashon. That's why it says their chet was with their tongues. And that's why they had the whole thing with the tongue that Rashi talks about. The tongue went into the stomach. Because there was what they said, because they scared the people and they undermined their self-confidence. And that's really what a leader is for. A leader is for helping people be self-confident, not undermining it. And that's really, we're all leaders in that sense, I think. Everyone, that's one of us. We're all leaders to family. We're all leaders to friends. Everyone has a leadership position with somebody. At least we have leadership with ourselves. And if we have that self-confidence and we don't look at ourselves like second-class or third or fourth-class passengers, we look at those first-class passengers, which we are, then we can accomplish the world. As long as we look at ourselves kechagovim, then we don't stand a chance. The Rebbeinu should help that we should all have that self-confidence to face the world. So we finish a little bit just on Parsha Shlach. Next week is Kaira. So, you know, Baruch Hashem.